ladies and gentlemen, the story you are about to hear is true.
Dateline, Chicago. Around 5:15 a.m. Friday, January 31st, two men approached a private garbage truck driver making his rounds in the 900 block of South Holman Avenue, took out a gun, and announced a robbery. The driver was an Illinois CCL holder who produced his own gun and opened fire, shooting one assailant in the head and the other in the neck. Police arrived and declared one perpetrator DRT, dead right there, and took the other to Mount Sinai Hospital in critical condition. No charges are pending against the victim, and the perpetrator's gun was taken as evidence. This has been the DGU, or Defensive Gun Use, Files.
The story you have just heard was true.
America Armed and Free is a paid program on KVOI, wholly owned by Charles Heller, produced, engineered, paid for, and hosted by him. Any opinions are his, not necessarily the station's.
I, Harry S. Truman, President of the United States, dedicate this day of Sunday to America, armed and free.
The Constitution does not say that government shall decree the right to keep and bear arms. The Constitution says the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed.
I am a minute man. I am the guardian of America, armed and free. For we knew it will always be the citizen who is the guardian of America, armed and free.
Welcome to America, Armed and Free, a program dedicated to preserving your God-granted, constitutionally guaranteed individual right to keep and bear arms in defense of self or state, understanding that the citizens are the militia. This program is produced by Charles Heller and is not endorsed by anyone who isn't pro-choice on freedom.
We are the guardians of America, armed and free.
William R. Forston is a New York Times best-selling author and professor of history at Montreat College in Montreat, North Carolina. He holds a doctoral degree from Purdue with a specialization in military history and technology, and is the author of more than 50 books. Actually, I think it's more than 54. And Bill Forston, welcome back to the microphones and telephones of America Armed and Free.
I always enjoy being with you guys. I usually laugh through most of the interview.
Well, we seem to hit our stride somewhere in the first 30 seconds we seem to synchronize pretty well. Our comm grid seems to come up on the same frequency, and we just seem to speak the same language. So, I guess we both have the right amount of dihedral.
You're going to have to excuse me. I'm down with the flu, so I will be coughing occasionally.
Not a problem. I'm just recovering from it, but I have the advantage of being able to mute my mic and you don't hear me do the same thing. In fact, we'll probably be coughing at the same time. We could make it in stereo. So.
Yeah, we could do synchronistic coughing.
Yeah. Synchronized sputum. No one expectorates like Gaston from what was that movie, that cartoon movie? Anyway, I digress. We're off to the races already in the wrong direction. So before we go into the interview about EMP, which is basically what we're going to talk about today, based on your books, One Second After and the four sequels to it, how hard was Montreat hit during the recent hurricane?
I'm glad you brought that up. I'm within 5 miles of what's considered the epicenter, which was in Swannanoa, North Carolina, which was a beautiful little town, totally wiped. I remember telling my fiance she was going to go out and run an errand the day after. I said, don't get on the interstate. Get on the local highway. She called me 10 minutes later and said, I can't move. I said, why? She said, there's a house floating down the middle of the highway. It's 4 months later. It's still a disaster zone. It's one of the reasons I was delighted by Trump's very first trip out of the White House was the Swan and Noah. And we have over 10,000 people here who are still basically homeless.
Hmm. Wow. And is was Montreat spared that?
We were fortunate. We lost, they're restoring the building. We lost the gym and a couple of auxiliary buildings out on the periphery of the campus. But the main campus was spared. But even so, it was a bloody disaster. Two of the three bridges into the campus were wiped out. I'll tell you, it really still looks like a war zone around here.
I texted you after it, but you were too busy to respond. So.
Oh, my gosh, I'm sorry.
I was wondering if you survived, frankly, because of the proximity. I knew how close you were to the center of the issue. I don't know the epicenter where the storm hit, but I knew how close Montreat was to the to where the brunt of the hurricane hit, and I wondered about that. So,
well, part of the reason you didn't hear from me was I was without electricity for close to a month, lost everything, all communication for about a week or so before the internet was finally hooked back up again. But further down the road, it's apocalyptic. And one thing that's been driving me crazy, almost every person I run into, the first thing they say now is, hey, that was just like your book.
That's got to be irritating.
I don't need to hear that.
What? I'm sorry?
I don't need to hear that.
No.
But to top it off, I was caught off guard, and I didn't stockpile enough water, you know. So I was standing online for water by day three.
Huh.
And thank God it was the volunteer effort that made 90% of the difference here. I was flown down to Hickory. Newt had put a request in for that to see the helicopter operation. They were running 75 helicopters within a matter of several days. 4 million pounds hauled in the first week. Guess who was getting in the way every step of the way?
FEMA.
Yep. At one point, they said they were going to confiscate some of the supplies for themselves, and they said, like hell.
I would imagine the Montreat militia might have had something to say about that.
I'll share one quick story. I was talking with a couple of police officers down at one of the sites for, you know, supplies. And they said, you won't believe this, but yesterday we pulled a person out of the mud. All they had were the clothes on their back, completely caked in mud. We drove them straight to the FEMA center, all right? They walked in with this person, and the FEMA rep said, I'm closing the office in a half hour. Come back tomorrow.
Oh, nice.
The cops took the person over to the local hotel and said, just check them in for free. It's okay on us. Yeah, typical. Typical government, but not anymore.
So you've been angling to get in front of President Trump on this. Have you met with him before, or would this be the first time?
This would be the first time. I'm told almost like they go up to Washington sometime within the month or so as things calm down a little bit with all the different appointments. But, yeah, talking about President Trump, there's been all the talk about an Iron Dome system for the United States, and that's the thing I'm very interested in because it relates directly to EMP, and we need government action on that.
Yeah. You know, you can be as libertarian as can be, but there's some things that the government should do.
Mm-hmm. And defense is one of them. It's the big one.
It really is, but in the last hour, I was talking about the results of the collision between PAT-25 and the CJR near Reagan International. And there are other things that government should do, and one of them is we've got to figure out a system based on something related to that, which is that drone that hit the Super Scooper, the Canadian Super Scooper aircraft. That drone pilot just pled guilty. He's going to do a year in the federal pen for it, and he's going to have to repay the Canadians for the dent in their airplane.
It's a pretty big dent.
it was a $63,000 dent. As airplanes go, it wasn't. That's not huge, But the point of the matter is he could have downed an aircraft that was busy trying to fight the fire. That's the important thing.
You know, the tragedy here in North Carolina, we have that situation in L.A., but L.A. is like a major media center. So, of course, that's been all the reporting. Rather quickly here, within a matter of days, this region was kind of forgotten. Not to denigrate what's going went down in L.A. and other things, but we do need a heck of a lot more support here for this community to recover. You know, there's something like 3 million tons of debris out there. They've only moved about 1 million so far.
Yeah, and these, not only are they going to, is it going to take more support, but like you say, there's less attention on that part of the country because it's not Hollywood.
Yeah, I mean, okay. You know, the Palisades fire, and they're looking at, well, this is a $1 million house, this is a $2 million house. The people that were getting hit here were small mountain communities in double-wide trailers or, you know, a modest home for a couple hundred thousand. They were all wiped out. In one situation, 11 family members disappeared. Took days to find them in the mud.
Any of them survive?
11 family members were killed in that. I think one or two family members survived.
What a tragedy. And you never hear about it. It doesn't even make mention on the news.
Mm-hmm. And it's heartbreaking because, you know, I see it almost every day. If I drive to Swannanoa, we're one of the few stores that remain with the pharmacy. And I get within a mile of what was Swannanoa, and it's flattened. Mm-hmm. You know, there's still upside down cars, you know. Just like I said, it is like a war zone out there. It looks like the Waffen SS just rolled through and blew everything up.
Like the last scene in Fury.
Yeah.
My God.
I never liked the ending of that. That was a little bit too Hollywoodized.
Yeah, it's based on a true story, though.
Yes, it is.
So,
but the last 20 minutes were a bit much. But other than that, it was an incredibly good film.
It was, especially the 5-on-1. We're going to bum rush.
Yes.
We're going to bum rush him. Kabam.
Well, yeah. I think the ratio, they used to figure it would take 4 Shermans to wipe out 1 German tank.
Yeah.
I got very, very close to a D-Day vet. We were friends for years. And he told me how they were driving. Oh, better yet, we were on tour in the Bulge. And I'm sitting in the left seat. My friend's in the middle. The driver's on the right, you know, British car. We turn a corner, and what's right in front of us? A King Tiger tank. My friend Pat, this old guy panicked and jumped over me to try and push his way out the door. And then he just collapsed, and he said, oh, shit. And then everything else for about 2 minutes. He said, that one scared the crap out of me.
Yeah.
Still haunted him 60 years later.
Yep. Yeah, well, I imagine it would. My dad was a Sherman driver, and the funny thing was, my dad was a severe claustrophobic.
Oh my gosh! In that.
and he was in Sherman's.
Sherman.
Yeah, and he would take his first act as commander of the tank would be to unbolt the latch from every Sherman he ever served in. And one of them, he didn't tell his friend Eddie Zatz, and as Eddie was driving my dad's tank, and the door that he thought was secured with the latch had been unbolted, and the door came on a bounce, came and hit Eddie in the head and knocked him out. Luckily, he was wearing his helmet, but he had a concussion. Commenced to chase my father around Fort Campbell, Kentucky with a coal shovel when he got out of the hospital. Anyway.
That was a great generation.
Yeah,
truly great generation.
It was. Eddie came back from World War II with an MG-42 that he personally took off some guys he killed. And the ATF found out he had it, and they said, oh, yeah, I got it. It's right on the wall there. And they said, has it been dewatted? He goes, oh, yeah, the barrel's welded. and they took out a pencil and poked the weld, and it came dropping right out of the gun. And they said, Colonel Zatz, we're taking this with us, or we're taking you with us, one or the other, your choice.
Oh, gosh darn it. Yeah, and I bet it wound up in somebody else's collection.
Well, it probably ended up melted. But ATF, you know, when ATF does something, you got to understand it's malfeasant from the start. All right, stand by. We're at our first break already, so hang on.
Oh, gosh, it goes too quick.
Yeah, it does. All right, hold on. In the Wilkinson Wealth Management Studios.
This is Herman Cain, and if it has a muzzle, a nozzle, or a blade, you'll find your topic on America Armed and Free. Sundays, right after Liberty Watch.
Swap Shop trains are coming, rolling down that free market track. Sunday mornings, you can buy, sell, or trade anything lawful and moral on the Swap Shop. Let's listen.
Don Wells, is there anything you missed on the island?
Oh, well, actually, what I really missed, there we were with nothing to do. What I missed most was the Swap Shop. I mean, what fun we'd have had. I don't know how we'd have gotten a hold of you, but we'd have tried.
Swap Shop, Sundays 10 to 11 a.m., right before Liberty Watch.
I'm Oliver North, and like you, I'm listening on America Armed and Free with Charles Heller. Civilian disarmament is an essential precedent for every dictator who engages in mass murder.
Hi, Mark Levin here. America Armed and Free. Sounds like a good title for a book. Congratulations on 20 years on KVOI, Charles.
And a Magnificat Sunday to you, and we're with Bill Forsten, and I know you liked that piece by Constance Demby, and used it while you were writing, you know, putting on headphones to listen while you were writing your books, and so it's a gestalt for you, good for you, and...
She was my one of my favorites. She just passed away about a year or two ago. Gosh, I even corresponded with her at one point. She was an incredible composer.
Did you ever get to talk to her on the phone or anything? Or?
Not on the phone, but I used her music in one of my books, Look to the Sky.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I checked to make sure, and I mentioned her. Yeah, we corresponded back and forth. She was a wonderful person.
Be darned. How old was she?
70s.
Not old at all.
No, definitely not old at all.
Yeah.
70's a new 50.
Right. Yeah. An orange is a new, never mind. Going back to the topic of electromagnetic pulse and about preparedness and such like that, what is it, the message you'd like to get across to President Trump?
Okay. I think we've talked about this a bit before. When Trump was president first time around, about 3 months before the end of his administration, he mandated a comprehensive review by DOD, Department of Energy, and others on the issue of EMP and where we would go next. The day that Biden became president, he killed that initiative. Well, Trump is president again, and I just want to make sure that EMP becomes a top priority issue, because it is. It is one of the two or three really existential threats to the United States that has to be addressed.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to see that that happens again.
It seems to me that one priority we ought to have is developing all the electrical components for our own grid that are not supplied from another country, and especially not supplied by a country that's hostile to the interests of the United States.
Well, you know, the analogy I always give on that is December 8th, 1941, the president meets with the head of the Army and the head of the Navy, and they say, Mr. President, we got a problem. With the Navy, all our carriers are made in Japan. With the Army... Well, all our tanks and aircraft are made in Germany. That's literally the situation we're in now. We need to return that type of industry to the United States, to have a homegrown defense industry that takes a top priority on rebuilding our electrical infrastructure. You know, the DOE did a study about 8 or 10 years ago. The average component in our electrical grid is 30 to 40 years old. We're pumping electricity in a 1980s system. We can't do that in the 21st century.
Right. Have you looked at small modular reactors?
A little bit, yes. You know, back in the 60s, well, the 50s and the 60s, Admiral Rickover was yelling like crazy, why are you building these monstrous size reactor systems when we already have perfected systems for submarines that can provide enough electricity for 100,000 people? And we already trained the personnel on how to run them.
Mm-hmm.
No, we didn't do that. We instead had to build Three Mile Islands and Chernobyls. It's just not cost effective, and it's dangerous.
Another thing is we could locate nuclear reactors on military bases. And
yeah.
They could, and you could bypass a lot of the NEPA process, and you could bury them 250 feet below the ground and have them operate for 50 years. And at the end of that 50 year cycle, you simply have tubes that are pre-installed. You simply fill the tubes with concrete and let it fill all the way up 250 feet deep, and voila, you don't have to really worry about anything leaking out of it, because the concrete will go all under and around the nuke and surround it and encase it forever.
Exactly. And it's so frustrating because we had the systems there in the 50s to make cheap, effective electrical energy with small reactors, and we haven't done it. And even now, today, you mentioned, well, we need to build reactors, and we definitely need to build reactors. And right away, the anti-nuts are out all over the place screaming against it.
Right. Well, the nice thing about it is the anti-nuts are already so inflamed about the current POTUS that they may not notice. I mean, you know, it's kind of like having a hemorrhoid. You don't notice the second hemorrhoid, you know.
I make it a point. Every morning I spend 10 minutes watching, what is it, The View. I can only last for 10 minutes, but it keeps me up to date on what these nuts are thinking.
Well,
then I had to turn it off, otherwise I'll have a Tourette syndrome and break my TV.
One of my comments is just very simply this.
What difference at this point does it make?
To quote the woman herself, you know.
Let's run Camilla again in 2028. I would enjoy doing that.
Oh, that would be entertaining but painful. You know, it's, well, you know, see if I have it here. I probably don't have it easily, but, in the immortal words of Camilla Harris, sorry about that, Chief. Missed it by that much.
You know what my fiancé and I enjoy watching are the Hitler rants.
Oh, my God, those are funny. Those are funny.
Hysterical. And the ones regarding Biden and Kamala Harris, the one where Hitler tries to talk to Kamala Harris, you're laughing your butt off. It's so ridiculous, but it was real. This person really did almost make it as United States president.
Well, she didn't get that close, but the point is that she was even seriously a contender. Seems like, how does anybody...
Been a contender.
Right. I'm sorry, what did you say? And hold on a second. And what did you say, Ab?
I could have been a contender.
Yeah. Ab Wilkinson in studio with me.
For me. Yeah.
Yeah.
She could have been a contender.
Right. I believe the threat of America being hit by an EMP weapon is, you've said, is the single greatest danger to our survival, and electricity is a fundamental building block of our society. In what ways are we still vulnerable, either to EMP or to a solar flare?
Every way possible. The threat of an EMP right now, today, North Korea could hit us. They have the launch capability. They have the warhead capability. You only need about a Hiroshima-sized blast 250 miles up to trigger an EMP. Launch three weapons, central, eastern, and western United States. This is a real threat. Now, Iran would be a threat if they continue forward. But I have a feeling something will derail their program, even though they're within 6 months of achieving something.
Yeah, some little Stuxnet somewhere will just get all up inside their computers, and they'll fall down and go boom.
Yeah, like, what was it, all their centrifuges suddenly went spinning too fast and blew up about a year or two ago.
Funny how that happens, you know.
Yeah, really funny.
Yeah.
God bless Israel.
Well, in the immortal words of Boris Badernov,
never underestimate the power of a snook.
Natasha.
Ryan, we do well. We do well, Kotovrish, but first we shoot moose and squirrel.
See what I mean? We're laughing most of our way through this interview.
I know. How's that happen? You know, an electromagnetic pulse is not that hard to generate. And hang on a second.
No.
And caller, your first name, please.
Gary from Bisbee.
Hi, Gary. You're on with Bill Forsten and Charles Heller. Go ahead.
Thank you. Bill, to follow up on the initial question, and it's regarding the solar flares, but more importantly now these days, I watch certain YouTube channels that are discussing the pole shift, and I take it rather seriously, at least one of the individuals I listen to. What are your thoughts on the pole shift, and does it have a cataclysmic effect in our systems that would be affected just as much as an EMP?
It might cause the Australians to drive on the right side of the road.
And Greenland goes the other way. Yeah, I really couldn't tell you. I've not studied that. So I know we're looking at a solar pole shift and here on Earth as well, but I really couldn't tell you.
Mm-hmm. Oh. All right.
Very good.
Good question,
though.
Thank you. You're welcome. He always, Gary from Bisbee always asks something really good. You know, is there anything we could do, Bill, that is a simple step towards hardening the grid against an EMP attack?
Oh, gosh. You know, my friend Peter Pry, who was really
right.
The godfather on this issue, but tragically died about a year and a half ago. Peter Pry used to say about $5 to $10 billion of investment in infrastructure would do it. It's one of the few things I disagreed with. It would be $50 to $100 billion to do a true hardening of our grid within about a 3 to 5 year span. But then again, what's $50 billion more or less these days? I bet Musk could dig that money up for any given weekend.
I'm sure
that has to be spent.
And sure, we could get it out of people who take their early retirement from the Department of Energy. Really? I mean,
like I said, you're cracking me up through this whole darn interview. Yes, or all the. I was just reading an article this morning now. Musk is now digging into the actual disbursement, giving out of funds by the Department of Treasury. And it's like, my God, this whole thing is madness.
I think it's pretty neat the way Musk figured out a way to email everybody in the federal government before he even asked Trump whether or not he could do it. Eb wants to ask you something. Eb,
yeah, he's already saved $50 million on condoms for Gaza.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, there's the savings right there.
Those are the extra small ones.
I'm sorry, what, Eb?
Oh, my God.
Those were for the extra small ones. Yeah. I don't know if it costs more for the big ones.
I you know, and how about those Cubs? Anyway, 520-790-2040. We're over for our break, so let's do the bottom of the hour break. It's flying by way too fast, and we'll be right back after this in the Wilkinson Wealth Management Studios. And that was the aforementioned Wilkinson who asked you a question. Like, where is the music? I'm hearing nothing. and KV. Oh, there, turn the button on, dummy. Okay, got it. Ooh, both magnetos on now. All right, hang on in the Wilkinson Wealth Management Studios.
Welcome to Monoral Radio, where we sing in black and white.
Okay, guys, vacation time is finally here. On to Magic Mountain.
Yay! Magic Mountain! Oh, boy!
What was that? I know exactly what that was. It was an EMP. Honey, get in the car. Everybody in the car. It's a good thing we have this 55 Chevy Nomad. No electronics. Let's go.
Yay!
Finally, Magic Mountain. Honey, isn't this great? I can't believe it. No lines, no waiting.
And no people.
I don't believe it. Over there, near the snack bar, it's William Forston.
I've read all his books.
Hello.
Hey, Bill, how did you power up this place?
Oh, with my mega Generac. I never leave home without it.
It always pays to have your classic car maintained at Perfection Auto Works. Don't wait for the final day to have your car checked out for safety. Call 323-8650 and PerfectionAutoWorks.com.
Bit of Mahler for your afternoon back with Bill Forston. that of course is Mahler's number symphony number one, and that is where James Horner stole the open to the original Star Trek. Beginning chords.
I'm a Mahler nut. I love Mahler. When my buddies and I would get together for the weekend, we'd play marathon games of Risk with Mahler in the background.
Oh. But listen to the opening chords of this.
Place.
Oh, with my mega Generac, I never leave home.
And you could hear right after that.
Yeah.
And it's that's where Alexander Courage, or James Horner, got the original notes for that. And right out of Mahler's first. So I listened to that. I listened to that one time on NPR, and as soon as I heard it, I went, oh, my God, that's where it came from. you can hear it in there. Eb wanted to ask you, going back a little bit to the Montreat situation. Eb, go ahead.
Hey, Bill, knowing what you know now and having gone through what you've gone through, what would you do different, or how are you preparing differently?
Oh, my gosh. First of all, I'd make sure my cistern was full. That would be the big one, because it wasn't. And I got caught shorthanded on that. And some more emergency supplies, particularly, I was okay. I had enough food supply and such. But things like, a better backup solar generator would have been important as well. I had one, but I never really used it. But for other people who were just a couple hundred yards away from me, get a new house. That's how close it was. I was up on the side of a mountain, so I wasn't hit so hard.
How big is your cistern?
Oh, gosh, 500-600 gallons.
Mm. Okay. Now, did you have, aside from the solar generator, did you have, like, propane or white gas or anything?
You know, I never saw the sense of it because, let's say, I did have a nice Generac propane generator. Well, a good friend of mine, he had 500 gallons worth of propane, but at the end of 2 weeks, he was running low.
Hmm.
I think I would get a better solar that's just folded up and stored in the basement and then pull that out if need be.
Hmm. I keep a 60-day supply of water. Because mm-hmm. it's the desert, I have zero faith and confidence in our municipal authorities' ability to supply everybody. Of course, those people who have a swimming pool, found like those who had swimming pools in Los Angeles and had a pumping system, mm-hmm. were able to save their own houses.
Exactly. You know, I used to have a swimming pool in my backyard years ago until my daughter went off to college and nobody used it. And that was 17,000 gallons. Kind of wish I had it during the bad times of 4 months ago.
What did you do with the pool?
I plowed it under finally, especially when the pool guy showed up one day and he's pulling the cover off and jumps back because there's a copperhead underneath it.
Well, that's it.
Copperhead more, lives matter.
Yeah, dude, just yeah. more protein, you know, that's fine.
Yeah,
but yeah, you know, I have a 1,000-gallon propane tank, underground propane tank, that I operate my house on, and with that, along with other, you know, 5-gallon propane tanks and a cooktop and everything else, I should be okay for a while.
Yeah, you should be, but you're really going to, if you know you're going to be facing a long-term situation, you ration it to like an hour a day.
Yeah.
And the other 23 hours of the day, if it's winter, heating, wood, that type of thing.
Did you ever think about...
No, go on.
Did you ever think about getting one of those battery walls like Tesla has?
Yes, I have. It's just I haven't gotten into the expense of it yet. But having that would help a lot as well. But, you know, like I said, I lost everything. I lost my electricity for about a month. I lost everything. And I got used to it, though.
What did you do for now? What did you do for showers?
poured water into a bag out in the backyard and let that heat up a bit, you know, solar, since it was black, and then I would shower off of that.
Huh. Yeah. I have found that a 2-gallon bug sprayer, if you heat up water on the stove, especially if you have like a Coleman stove, and you heat up water on the stove and then put it in there and then pump it up, give it about 14 or 15 pumps, it gives you the more or less the same velocity as the shower head in your house, and perfectly warm water to your taste. And it really does not. I experiment. I keep two of those in the house just in case one of the nozzles goes bad or something like that. But I found that you can shower in about a gallon and a half of water quite effectively.
Yeah, yeah. Or you know, the submarines used to be that 3-minute shower, and that was it. You learned to do it.
Navy shower. Well,
yeah.
But get wet, soap up, lather up, and then rinse off. A Navy shower. So.
Yeah.
I have a lot of friends in the submarine community, or at least I used to. So they're getting older now. Some of these guys are diesel qualified. So.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, I wanted to go and visit, and I missed the last diesel submarine that we had in service. The one that's up in Portland, the 581. I will get there eventually. One of these days, when they have a gun rights policy conference somewhere near there, I'll get over to Portland and go see the submarine. So,
very quick story. Philadelphia had one of the submarines there from World War II, and beautiful blonde I was dating at the time. I was taking her through, and I was explaining everything, and one of the old guys was a docent there. He said, "Son, you're talking about my boat. Let me give you a real tour." Well, we hit the first ladder, and he points to my girlfriend and said, "You can go first, honey." Well, an hour later, when we're done with the tour, he's looking at me going, "That's the best tour I've given in my entire life. Thank you." My girlfriend in the mini dress.
Oh, boy. That's the 319, the Bakuna there.
Yeah, it is? Okay.
That's the Bakuna, yeah.
I was talking about the problems with the detonators on the torpedoes, and that's when he waded in on that.
Hmm.
They're all gone now, unfortunately. They're almost all gone.
I interviewed a guy named Emil Skuljons, who had been on one of the boats in 43 that had had the problems with the detonators, and then was in service after they fixed it. And that was Swede Momsen that actually did the testing that fixed the inventor of the Momsen lung that fixed the torpedoes. So, just fascinating stuff in World War II. You know, do you ever watch the old series called Silent Service, the old black and white series with Admiral Dykers?
Oh, yes. Absolutely, oh, yes.
I watch those over and over again, and they're just still fascinating to me. Also, I saw an interview with Creed Burlingame, who'd been the skipper of Silversides, and Silversides is the one I worked on in Chicago for 17 months. And
wow.
It's just, that's kind of my... my goal, my return to my pilgrimage to Mecca trip, when it's now in Muskegon, Michigan. Every now and then I get to go, and it's kind of like you going out to the garage and seeing the L3. You know, it's your girl.
Yeah, I lost that, by the way.
Oh no! In the storm?
Yeah. The hangar was under 15 feet of water.
Oh darn!
15 feet of water.
Was
it? And it. The entire airport was wiped out. It's a small grass strip airport. Every aircraft was destroyed.
Oh no, Montreat International.
Yeah, it was a real heartbreak. I mean, I've had that plane for 20 years. I've donated it to a group down in South Carolina that's going to restore it, but you know, I gave it to them.
Oh.
But I couldn't even bring myself to go down and look at it. It hurt too much when they said there's 15 feet of water down here.
Yeah, you did the right thing probably not to look. Remember her, how she was. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, we're up on our last break of the hour. Let's go ahead and do that now, and then we'll be right back after this in the Wilkinson.
This is going too fast.
And it, well, you know, I could have called you earlier, too. So, all right, stand by.
Swap Shop trains are coming, rolling down that free market track.
Sunday mornings, you can buy, sell, or trade anything lawful and moral on the Swap Shop. Let's listen.
This is Caroline.
Happy chickens.
We have a 5-acre horse property for sale.
They're participating in the program.
Please make that part of the package.
A ranch with chickens. They might call that the chicken ranch.
I've been called worse.
Swap Shop, Sundays 10 to 11 a.m. right before Liberty Watch. Imagine that this is your daughter.
What do you want?
Now you get to decide how this scene ends. Or...
Stop, Earl! Stop, stop!
Some misinformed people want to take away your daughter's choice between rape and self-defense. We're pro-choice on self-defense. Jews for the Preservation of Firearms Ownership, jpfo.org.
And welcome back to the last segment of America Armed and Free with Bill Forsten of the book One Second After and the four sequels to it. Bill, are you familiar with that music at all?
River Dance?
No, it is from, that's called, it's close, it's called Granules Dance. And mm-hmm. It is by a lady by the name of Maureen Nesbitt. And Maureen Nesbitt is of the formerly of the Celtic Women group, and she was violinist. And if you've ever seen this elfin Irish girl dancing madly while playing the violin, that's who that was.
Yes.
I would encourage you to look up her music. She's now an American. She's married to an American and has American kids, and she lives in Maine. And she tours the world and has some albums that I know you will like.
Name again?
Her name is Maureed, M-A-U-R-E-I-D, Nesbitt, N-E-S-B-I-T.
Nesbitt, okay. All right. I will check that out as soon as we're off the air.
And there is one of them with another famous violinist where she does a duel in front of a crowd of 50,000 people. And they're both mic'd up. Their violins are acoustic with electric pickups on them. And the two of them are doing dueling violins. It is electric.
Just, check those out.
You just have to see that. Anyway, I digress because I know you like classical music and that kind of stuff and things with a real heartbeat to them. Getting back to electromagnetic pulse, Is there any design of equipment or standardization of equipment that we could do as Americans? I want you to answer this kind of short because I got one caller on hold.
I would say absolutely yes, and our government should be working on that, on simple, clear, approved, EMP-proof systems to protect our homes. We don't have that yet. We don't have that type of capability. It's out there. Let's do it.
Yep. Amen. All right, and we're going to go line two. Mark, one brief question and one brief follow-up for Bill Forsten. Go.
Okay. So nothing terrifies me more than surviving an EMP attack that would wipe out 300 million Americans and probably Canada and Mexico. And anyway, will solar panels survive an EMP?
Some manufacturers claim they can. I'm a little bit doubtful of that. Again, what I just said about a minute ago, I would like to see some government-approved, like Trump government-approved, equipment for home use, including solar panels, things like that, that are EMP-proof. We can manufacture them. We've got to start manufacturing them.
I'm less concerned about the solar panel itself than the couplers to it. It's going to French fry any type of an electronic winding or a connection, and especially it's going to French fry the, not transducer, the thing that translates DC to AC voltage, inverters. It's going to French fry the inverters.
Yeah.
That's, I think, the weak point of it. And do you have a fast follow-up, Mark?
Yeah. You were talking about the previous vice presidential candidate for president. And so I don't use her name. I use her Latin name, which is Scamala Cum Scamus. Scamala Cum Scarus. And then her other
you got great
name,
guests here.
Latin name is Scamala Cum Scamus. So Scamala Cum Scarus and Scamala Cum Scamus.
I thought a doctor treated me for that some years back.
Yeah.
I think that name needs to get into one of your books, Bill.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah.
There ought to be a way, a device, something that we could design that would detect the EMP and would shunt it to ground.
Again, the capability is out there. It's just not being pushed. There are so many things that our government should be doing right now, and I'm praying will be doing, particularly for home use all the way up to mass manufacturing necessary components to repair the grid if it ever goes down.
I think Tesla could design a device that would charge Trump's hair from an EMP.
No comment. I could go with that, but I'm not going to.
Yeah, probably not. Okay, Mark. Anything else?
I don't have a basement to hide in from the summer, and this will be fried crispy in the summer around here. And I'm definitely going to be one of those people who die during that a long, languishing, horrific death. That's what terrifies me.
We may be the lucky ones.
80 to 90% of us, that will be our story. I mean, I'm in my mid-70s. What's my probability of survival for a year? I don't know. I think problematic.
Depends on what meds you're on, and none of my business, but, you know.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
If anything needs refrigeration, you're toast. And
well, for me, it's a couple of meds that if I go without them for a couple of months, it could be a little bit hairy.
Yep. Same here. All right. On that pleasant note, does anybody have, like, a five-point plan of things we could do?
No. They don't, and we should. You know, there's an awful lot of books out there on different things necessary for survival. That'd be a good book to write. What are five key things that you could be doing?
You know,
stock up on your meds.
I know that's not easy to do. I know of a guy who could do that in, you know, Montreat.
Yeah, I've heard about him.
Yeah. My grandfather would drop his bar card when he was out campaigning for municipal judge and find it mysteriously on the floor and go, oh, look at that, Sam Heller, hell of a fella.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I just it strikes me that there ought to be some simple things. Have you reached out? Maybe, you know, people will talk to you. Have you reached out to anybody at, say, for instance, Apple or Tesla or any of the large technology companies that make electronic stuff, especially Apple? You would think Apple would want to have something that would be EMP proof. You'd think that would really enhance their brand.
Well, you know, it's been a year since I really wrote anything. I've been taking off for the last year and just enjoying life. But if my current plan goes that I start working a bit more with government, that would be something I would highly recommend. And again, of course, I would love to have just 10 minutes with Elon Musk.
Mm-hmm.
To run down some of these, because he's my great hero. Just 10 minutes even.
I think that's not outside the realm of possibility to make happen based on, A, what they're listening to people with ideas from Doge. And second of all, I think that you know enough people that probably can reach into his sphere to get his attention for 10 minutes. I don't think that's an undoable goal at all.
Well, you know, one example, the claw that now catches the lower the booster system.
Right.
He was thinking all along about having landing legs and everything else. And as I understand it, was somebody just suggested to him, why don't you try this instead? Capture the thing with, you know, a claw that closes.
Yeah.
It's like, my God, that will save us quite a few thousand pounds, which becomes crucial.
You could hear Jonathan Archer saying, bring the grappler online.
Yes.
So, you know. My favorite of that is that a Warp 5 ship-to-ship transfer on a cable.
If they God can, knows what he is going to cook up next, but it's going to be an interesting year with him.
Here's my point. Yes, that's science fantasy, but that's where real things come from. A lot of medical devices today look like a tricorder.
Yes.
You know?
Yes, absolutely. Well, our cell phones are 20 years ago. Yeah.
Right. Look, the Motorola flip phone, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It's, you know, you could hear Kirk the Enterprise the first time you flipped one of those open. They should have put that sound effect in there, too. I suppose Roddy Berry probably had it patented. I know you can tell.
You can put that into your phone, yes.
Yeah. Chirp, chirp, chirp. Oh, it happens too fast. We got 20 seconds left, Bill. Any point you want to make to this audience?
Support what Trump's doing, support what Doge is doing. We got to plan now for an EMP that sooner or later will come at us. And we got to disable it before it even gets here.
That I'm not sure how we do, but...
ICBM, anti-missile defense system,
mm-hmm.
which is doable now, and it wasn't 40 years ago when first proposed.
No, it wasn't. You know, people laughed at Ronald Reagan about Star Wars until the Iron Dome.
Absolutely. It'll be a good year.
It is. I hate to say goodbye, but I gotta.
We'll meet again, don't know how, don't know when.
Yep. All right. Thanks, Bill. Appreciate it.
God bless.
Want to encourage everyone to be vigorous, not violent, vigilant, not vituperative. In liberty, I'm Charles Heller.
Lead us on to victory.
AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. This Dead Air brought to you by Perfection Auto Works.